Ahoy hoy, everybody. Welcome to Talking Simpsons, the only Simpsons podcast that's full of cloud talk. And this is your host, Bob Mackey. And let's talk about who else is here today.
Christopher Antista.
Henry Gilbert.
Dave Redd.
And today's episode we're talking about is The Telltale Head, which aired on February 25th, 1990. And Chris will tell us what the hell was happening in our crazy world in that fabled week.
Indeed I will, Bob Mackey. News that week. New Coke is rechristened Coke 2. Rush Limbaugh gets a shot at TV stardom, filling in as the guest host on the unforgettable Pat Sajak show. And the Hunt for Red October, the first of eventually five Jack Ryan films, debuts at the top of the box office.
I know that movie.
Wow. I was a regular Coke 2 drinker.
Were you?
Yeah, my dad would buy it all the time. I think he liked Pepsi more than Coke. So
I
that's
never
why
saw
I,
it. We were traveling through Colorado in 1994, and I saw Coke 2, and I bought it. I used to collect weird soda from around the country because I was a boring kid.
What a wonderful,
but I love The Simpsons. How about that?
Yeah, I think I found out recently Pat Sajak is one of those like conservative celebrities. And so that news about him given a chance to old Rush Limbaugh is not surprising.
Have a laugh, read his Twitter. It'll be fun, right?
Yeah.
Or as you Simpsons fans may know him, Barlow. P. Barlow.
Yeah. Bleeding Heart Spendocrats, which is one of my favorite lines
ever. Their smell fair program.
Pat Sajak and Chuck Woolery, strangely like just vindictive mean men. And they're just like hosts. But let's move on to the Telltale Head.
I think
head.
They don't understand what it's like to not be paid $100,000 a week and work for 30 minutes.
To just smile at people?
Yeah, why isn't everybody happy?
It's my job to be handsome.
Yeah. So this is the Telltale Head, and I think it is the Springfieldiest episode we've seen so
Hell
far.
Hell yeah.
Like, they point this out in the commentary, every crowd scene has recognizable characters, not these bizarre mutants that we've seen up until this point.
Yeah. I think this is The Simpsons realizing what it is.
Yes. I have a few problems with this episode, but let's talk about what happens in this episode first.
Sure.
So Bart meets Cool Kids, the debut of Jimbo, Dolph, and Kearney. They're not cool, but they are cool because they're bad teenagers, and he's 10.
Bob, they don't need an introduction.
You don't need an introduction. You're the worst kid in school.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, Bart. Man, now I feel like a jerk.
It was weird watching this episode for the first time in forever and realizing, like, this is actually the first time they meet. Mm-hmm. Like, most characters, you just assume they all know each other already. And, I mean, Bart knew Jimbo, but Jimbo didn't know Bart until this episode. So this is, like, essentially when Jimbo first meets Bart.
They had to introduce them because they had just disposed of their main bullies.
Yeah.
I mean, they just dealt with Nelson. Yeah. And then Nelson just... Well, anyway, finish the introduction.
Sorry, okay, buddy. So what happens is Bart and these kids get into mischief, and then they kind of think, hey, the greatest prank would be sawing the head off of the town's founder, the statue of him, Jebediah Springfield. Mm-hmm. So Bart does that, and the whole town turns against him, including the bullies.
Yeah.
And in the end, they have to confront an angry mob, and they kind of get out a little too easy. But
They do, but I love... behind the scenes, guys, we constantly talk about people in trouble in the news media, and I say that I don't like it when people... make sexist and racist statements, but I like somewhat, maybe even less, the witch hunt and mob and shame parties that run behind them. And I've always said that, like, the Simpsons have had so many mobs that make that behavior look disgusting, and this episode starts out with it.
You know, Bart, when I was your age, I pulled a few boners. I think you'll find that people are pretty decent if you give them half... There it is! Fathead! You got us cornered, boy. We'll never get away. Give me the head.
No, Dad. This whole thing was my fault. You run along.
Son, we're in this mess together. No matter how tempting it might be, I can't let my only boy get ripped limb from limb by a bloodthirsty mob.
Oh, Dad.
We'll die together like a father and son should.
Look, now we got him.
Hey, let's call the Simpsons.
And his kid. Bart, let's kill them.
Bring him up.
They're all ready to murder them. And that's what and Skinner are saying then.
That's what I see Twitter mobs as, like, all the time.
Homer's best friend.
Homer's, but I also, like, that last bit, did it seem like, well, if this is a jumping off point for people, let's make sure the characters say their names. Let's kill Homer and his son, Bart.
There is some real, like, winky stuff in this episode, because this episode was, like, kind of rearranged so that the ending comes before the rest of the episode.
First flashback episode is what I called it.
And Bart is saying, like, let me explain what will happen. And they're like, how long will it take? And he's like, 23 minutes and 5 seconds. And they're like, that's not too long. Well, I forget what the reaction was, but they were, like, not happy with it.
So many lines I love in the show. Homer being dragged to church, probably the first time, kind of, a savage treatment of church.
Yes.
Which I don't think any other show was really doing
and
at this
I
point.
I don't think we sat with characters in church for this long. No. Just on an average Sunday. Like, maybe in a Christmas episode or, like, something else like that. But this is just, like, an average day for The Simpsons. An average Sunday.
I always considered something dated about The Simpsons now. Because I did grow up in an era where a bunch of my friends went to church
on Sunday.
And, like, of course, that never happened. You heathenist assholes in San Francisco. That never happens anymore.
Yeah.
Well, this episode is full of firsts. Yeah. Like, this is one of the most first-filled episodes in a while. Like, this is because they go to church. This is his first love joy. Mm-hmm. This is the first Sideshow Bob. Mm-hmm. He's on screen there. And it's the first Apu also in this episode.
No. It is, yeah.
And Jimbo Dolphin Kearney.
Yeah,
it's the first Apu. In fact, I think we told this story before, but he was basically turned into an Indian character because Hank Azaria did that voice to get a laugh at the table read. And they're like, we have to make him Indian now because this is funny. I do want to point out, like, you guys can disagree with me if you want, but like, No Disgrace Like Home, written by Al Jean and Mike Reiss, like this episode, had Bizarro Homer. I think this episode has Bizarro Bart. He has a little too much of a conscience, and he's a little too reverent for, like, his town.
Also, weirdly susceptible to peer pressure.
Yeah.
Bart usually rises above that typical shit.
Like, I feel with a few tweaks, this could be a Lisa story, and it feels like a later Lisa story, like when she's hanging out with the bad girls.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I can forgive that because this is an early Bart, but still it feels like Bizarro Bart in a way.
Yeah.
I'll get back to
Quimby's in this, too. There's also the first time you see Quimby.
Mm.
That's a lot of firsts.
I love in this episode, but this is not the first. Fine, I'll say it's the first appearance. Harry Shearer sports commentators.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
O-Doctor.
We've got an upset in the making.
No, we don't. Try being objective for once.
I fucking love that.
Ethics in sports journalism.
Homer is the first internet commenter.
I do love that.
Yelling at his television.
That is the first time, there's been a Vin Scully-like announcer. O-Doctor.
O-Doctor.
And this is, like, Homer's first, like, fraternization with gambling, which would continue.
Yeah. Well, as they say on the commentary, and as they definitely make a point, like, the sports gambling was something they all did in the office. Man. Like, almost all the writers had a pool every year betting on the Super Bowl and who'd win at the start of the season. And
the Denver Broncos.
And so, yeah, Homer being into sports gambling was just them expressing that.
Yeah, well, I keep harping on, like, it's the first evidence, the first big evidence of clever but also really on, like, dark subject matter, and I love the children questioning their teacher, their Sunday school teacher.
It's
about
amazing.
About heaven, and I remember doing the same thing when I was in Sunday school, as if, like, no, kids, just shut up and eat it. And, like, dude, this is really hard to comprehend.
This,
like,
is literally a Life in Hell comic.
Yeah.
I wrote that down.
Oh, you did too?
Yes.
Yeah, because there are so many Life in Hell comics that are, like, kids asking questions about things. Like, is if God is everywhere, does that mean he's in the toilet? Like,
and
things
I
like
will say, to Charles Schulz's credit, this is, like, Peanuts is a G-rated of this conversation.
Will my dog Pepper be there?
I'm sorry, but the answer is no.
Why not?
Because heaven is for people.
What about my cat, Snowball?
I'm sorry, but the answer is no.
Will there be cavemen in heaven?
Certainly not.
Ma'am, what if you're a really good person, but you're in a really, really bad fight and your leg gets gangrene and it has to be amputated? Will it be waiting for you in heaven?
For the last time, Bart, yes.
I also like that Lovejoy calls the NFL a false idol.
Yeah. that sequence is a weird Simpsons sequence. Like, Bart, oh God, I got this for no reason. Bart brings I brought this because, like, this is, just want to put a timestamp on the episode. This is the technology Bart's bringing in a church.
Oh, yeah, the way Marge phrases it.
Bart, I want you to promise me you'll pay attention in Sunday school. Mark? Bart? Bart?
Oh, are you talking to me?
What's
That's
this?
Funny.
A personal stereo. Were you going to listen to rock music in Sunday school?
Maybe.
Can you believe this, Homer?
Neither personal stereos nor rock music still exist. They don't.
Yeah. A walking man, if you will.
A walking man.
Well,
Homer brings it into church, and Reverend Lovejoy is talking, and it fades into a sports commentator who is also Harry Shearer, and it tries to sync up what he's saying in church with the sports commentator.
They mentioned on the commentary that it wasn't supposed to sync up, but the animators in Korea didn't get the joke, so they lip sync it perfectly.
Okay,
accidentally.
Because I thought it was a little bit clumsy, but it was. Yeah. It's still something I hadn't seen in the show before.
I do love the, like, it's good, it's good,
it's good to see you
all in church today.
Yeah. And I grabbed this clip just because I just titled it "Emerging Simpsons" because, like, the whole family talks in a way, in a tone that the show would eventually find for itself in this one scene.
Homer, you embarrassed us in front of the whole congregation. And today's sermon was one you should have really listened to.
What was it about?
Gambling.
Oh. He didn't by any chance say that under certain circumstances it was all right, did he?
No. Look, I don't want to talk about this anymore in front of the kids. Lisa? Bart? What did you two learn in Sunday school today?
The answers to deep theological questions.
Yeah, among other things, apes can't get into heaven.
What? Those cute little monkeys? That's terrible. Who told you that?
Our teacher.
I can understand how they wouldn't let in those wild jungle apes, but what about those really smart ones who live among us, who roller skate and smoke cigars?
Oh, that's a lot, Link. I do have to say, like, again, Marge doesn't have much to do in this episode, and she's kind of just like a bitter scold throughout. I wish they would have given her a joke. She's always yelling at everyone in this show.
Well, that scene specifically, like, has a sequel in the cable episode, in the Stealing Cable episode, when Marge says, like, what'd you guys learn at school today? Yeah. And Bart's like, hell? Why, sure as hell can't talk about hell without saying
most,
hell.
Tornado, what is it? Twister mouth.
Yeah.
Big twister, yeah. And it's also then right after that is, I think, the first time they ever said space mutants on the show.
Yeah. Those space mutants.
Which are meaningless to the whole series, but they're the video game space mutants matter a lot.
Yeah.
I can't wait. We don't have to mention that anymore. All the video games we played have reference material in the first season. God,
But I parallel the space mutants to the Happy Little Elves in that they're things that, like, so Bart was obsessed with space mutants. Lisa was obsessed with Happy Little Elves for one season. They're gone forever.
Yeah, I think the space mutants still pop up every now and then in the first couple seasons.
Well, up to four in this movie, and I guess they do, like, because I kept listening to that scene. I'm like, isn't this guy supposed to be Australian? And then I'm like, oh, that's a sequel that they go to.
Yeah.
It's probably just a wallaby.
Yeah.
And I also liked Homer saying, share the wealth. That was funny. Share the wealth.
Share the wealth. And I was also surprised. They sneak into the movie, and then because Bart doesn't pay the money to see the movie, he buys them all this shit at the Quickie Mart to see how far $5 goes.
Oh, man.
Four squishies for $4.52. That's what I counted it as. Like,
wow. I'm glad somebody did it.
You could not buy, I don't think you could buy four slushies now. Yeah. You could buy one slushie now for $4.50.
Did we mention that this was directed by Rich Moore?
Yeah, it's first ever one. By Rich Moore.
And it looks really good. Rich Moore is great.
Not even tonally, it looks more like a Simpsons episode than most other episodes.
Well, and he does the mob so well.
In the movie, the theater usher who throws them out looks like the typical teenager who works at every establishment.
It should have been Squeaky Voice
Team. It should have been Squeaky Voice Team.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like him.
Yet.
But he has the same haircut and freckles.
We do meet Mr. Dandy.
Mr. Dandy.
His singular appearance.
Yeah, of Candy So Dandy.
He died in a plane crash with Howard from Howard's Flowers.
And as I noted on here, they say in the commentary many times, Bart never says cowabunga, and he says cowabunga in this episode.
I caught that, yeah.
They try to, and sometimes they say, like, oh, they just made that up for T-shirts. He never said cowabunga, but he says it in this episode.
Yeah, and he's skateboarding while he's doing it. Like, where else can you say cowabunga, really?
Exactly. And that was another favorite line of mine when Bart said, this is like stealing. Like, no, it is stealing.
It is stealing.
I just wanted to make sure we weren't deluding ourselves.
Yeah.
That's
a smart line.
A little too smart for Bart, honestly. And when they get the five-finger discount, which they say, five-finger discount, that Apu... It's Apu there. That's the first ever Apu. Mm-hmm. And the bar would feel that bad about stealing. I just don't know.
These days, and by these days I mean like season 8 or 9 or whatever, because I do not acknowledge post-2000. I'm just kidding. I'm not that much of a dick. But like later it would be like naturally assumed. Like Bart is naturally evil. Like he was born in evil.
No,
like, he was bathed in evil.
I love, because it was this, I had the same upbringing. Like I remember the first time somebody stole, I remember the first time my friend stole some bubble tape from the store, and we're in the woods, and I see that he did it, and I said to him, dude, that's a sin. that's how young, and then I realized stealing is not only fun, it's necessary.
And that God is dead, and there's no...
And I don't have any money, and if I want candy to lock in a trunk next to my pornography, which consisted of two Playboys found in the woods, I needed to steal it.
Well, where else would you get porn?
Exactly.
You know his reasoning for stealing the bubble tape.
What?
For me.
Not them.
Yeah.
Not them.
Not an adult should never have bubble tape.
Not a horn-rimmed glasses teacher shaking a ruler at me.
So I guess they just do some garden variety pranks in this episode. I'm trying to think of what they do. I can't remember outside of stealing.
There's
some vandalism.
They throw rocks at Jedediah Springfield.
Yeah.
I love the character that comes out of there, the Dan Castellaneta classical actors. You there! It's like Sideshow Mel.
Hey, you, hey. Like they cycle.
They loop it,
show some respect.
They didn't have enough lines for him, I guess.
Mr. Dandy was rather dandy.
Oh, that was Mr. Dandy.
Yeah,
sorry.
That was Mr. Dandy.
I did like Bart's ninja design. That was interesting.
That was cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dandy
up his cat
also makes
like
our coins, which are
window.
Coming.
Well, and that Bart's not... Or Homer is super into bowling in this episode, and I forgot when bowling was his thing.
That was a weird thread that... So he won $50, and then the rest of the episode is him looking up balls to buy.
Obsessed with the bowling ball, and I love Bart comes
Liquid
up to him
center.
Asking him for... It's, again, Marge in the last episode had the... In the previous episode had worst advice. This is Homer's worst advice.
I was wondering, how important is it to be popular?
I'm glad you asked, son. Being popular is the most important thing in the world.
So, like, sometimes you could do stuff that you think is pretty bad so other kids will like you better?
You're not talking about killing anyone, are you?
No.
Are you?
No.
Then run along, you little scamp. A boy without mischief is like a bowling ball without a liquid center.
That is great.
And, yeah, so then he cuts off...
I have the establishing scene because they're... I was in these situations. I remember trying to fit in, and I'm like, that would be really cool. And I never went to the point of like actually initiating something I thought the other kids would make me look cool, but I'd say stuff. And
totally.
So I could really relate to Bart, assuming this would get him in with the crowd that he wanted to be in.
That one looks like a school bus going over a cliff in flames with kids inside screaming.
That one looks just like the statue of our town founder, Jebediah Springfield.
Does not.
Does too. I mean, without the head, of course.
Oh, yeah. I wish someone really would cut his ugly old head off.
You do?
Yeah, that'd be cool. Sure would cheese everybody off.
But guys, come on. Don't you remember history class? Jebediah once killed a bear with his bare hands.
Oh, sorry.
We forgot how much you love Jebediah Springfield.
Yeah, he's your boyfriend.
Yeah. Hey, come on, guys. Knock it off.
Beat it, Simpson. Man, I thought you were cool.
That is like a... Sorry, that's a part of like a weird part of my childhood where like, yeah, you say one wrong thing in school,
you're fucked.
You are,
you're done.
Yeah, you are fucked.
We define who you are,
but like, it felt like forever. But you can get back in there, kids. Yeah. If there's anybody you donated to the Patreon under 12,
2 weeks feel like nothing, but also in Simpsons continuity, Kearney is 40. And they hang out with this 40-year-old
man.
And
he has a child.
He has a child.
Who sleeps in a drawer.
But yeah. I got to say, them inferring that Bart is gay for Jedediah Springfield really cheeses me off.
Well, and then so he cuts off the head, and when he wakes up next to the head, is that the first Godfather reference?
Yeah.
Is that the Simpsons
one first? Of, like, several thousand, probably.
Yeah, but I just think it's the earliest, and even one they redid with a real horse head later in the series.
My computer's about to go dead. I'm going to put out my line of the show, and I want I want to keep going like the regular show, but it's going to go dead. This is mine.
That's the joke.
It has to be yet another Vince Scully-esque Harry Shearer moment with Homer.
Doctor, we got a barn burner here. This could be the most remarkable comeback since Lazarus rose from the dead.
That was good. My favorite line of the show is from when they're watching the dramatization of Jebediah Springfield, and when they say, but further findings found that the bear actually probably killed him. Like, wouldn't you know how Springfield died?
Yeah.
Also, to date the episode, because of life on the internet and the disparity of culture, there will never be anybody as universally beloved as Jedediah Springfield ever in our lifetime.
Yeah.
You have to die in order to get that kind of treatment.
In season 8, I believe, is the episode where they find out not everything is great about Jebediah Springfield.
It's true.
Like, that's actually a plot.
I'm trying to remember, like, because I think I was at the very end of like historical figures being talked about like that. Chris Columbus was great. Now bring up any figure historical. Otherwise, Steve Jobs. Actually, Steve Jobs killed kittens.
He owned slaves and he raped everyone.
But that's for everybody. Even like Steve. Actually, Robin Williams was kind of a dick. All right, just shut up.
But you're right. Like, everyone in this episode has such an insane reverence for Jebediah Springfield. Yeah. Like, I think like Homer and Marge are like crying at the kitchen table when they
Homer
find
cries.
Out. Like, it's crazy because
Wiggum cries. Burns cries.
Yeah, Burns and Moe like share a moment, and it's bizarre.
I think that probably leads to one of my favorite lines of the episode, where they're at Moe's Tavern, and Barney asks like,
give me a beer with a head on it.
Yeah.
Which is like, I would
I
never ask.
I did not get that. I did not get that.
Yeah, Dave, I didn't know that was a joke.
I didn't get that until just now.
As a kid, I didn't get that joke. My parents had to explain what a head on a beer
until
means.
Until Dave just explained it, because I was like, when's the joke going to happen?
Though, why would somebody want a extra foam on there?
That's a bad pour.
Like, we were just at a pizza before, and I got a beer, and there was like too much foam on the top. I'm like, this beer has too much head on it.
Actually like rip somebody. I feel ripped off if there's too much of a head on.
Yeah. See, Barney was sacrificing beer in the memory of Jedediah Springfield.
So like the only way I could think of like why would he want a beer with a head on it is if he ordered Guinness, because people seem to like the fact that Guinness has like a really thick head on top.
Yeah.
But just to make that joke, he said like, give me a beer with a head on it, and then they all start crying.
Yeah, and well, I mean. Is Cloud Talk your favorite one?
That's my favorite. Like, that's just Cloud Talk, man. Because Jimbo Dolphin Kearney immediately turn on Bart when he tells them what he did or shows them what he did.
Or he almost shows them.
Yeah, like, yeah, he's got it in a bag or whatever.
And that also taught me as a kid, like, or should have, that there's no logical consistency to the popular person. And if you try to bring it up, like, but you said yesterday, they can just go like, I'm popular enough to say, fuck you. It doesn't matter what I did yesterday. And Jimbo also, oh, by the way, Jimbo is named after Jim Brooks.
Okay,
James L.
Yeah.
Brooks. It is a reference to Jim Brooks.
And I think Dolphin Kearney's a street in Portland. Like, there's a lot of Portland street character names in the show, if you didn't know, but that's where Matt Groening's from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also that they wanted to do they did the opening ending thing the way they did it. They cut it at the last minute because Al Jean and Mike Reese, who weren't on, they were on it for the writing but not the production. They were shocked to see that on the episode. And they said it was sort of inspired by Dick Van Dyke episodes.
Like an inordinate amount of them began with a flashback for no reason. But they do a funny thing with it where, like, Bart catches up to the point where he started telling the story, and Krusty's like, we heard this already.
Yeah.
Like, they live through that part of the story, so they just want to hear, like...
And, I did like that.
Not realizing back then, like, that is just a way that they... That's, like, 10 more seconds of, like, stuff they don't have to animate.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was a very meta statement. Yeah, I think Chris is right when he's talking about how this feels like they're really finding their groove in this episode, because you've got a giant crowd of people, basically almost the exact same style of lynch mob you see in the Simpsons movie, when they go to attack the Simpsons house.
Mob scenes have been driving animators crazy on the show since 1990.
Yeah, and that I forgot that such a complicated mob scene full of the regulars of the town existed this early.
It's crazy.
The weirdly, Otto has a girlfriend in that crowd.
I saw that. Yeah, it was very like a Brandine style character. Yeah. I do want to point out there's like the first real Smithers and Burns interplay where like Smithers helps Mr. Burns blow his nose, and I think Mr. Burns says, I love you.
Yep.
And he said, the feeling is more than mutual, sir. I mean, like, I did want to point out this oral history I write, which is not very good, but they point out a few things that I never knew before. Apparently, the writers based Burns and Smithers' relationship on James L. Brooks and Richard Sakai. So Richard Sakai is a very Smithers-style like character to James L. Brooks.
I had no idea. They joked before about Barry Diller being the inspiration for Burns, and then whoever was a vice president at Fox was Smithers. But I had never heard that. That almost makes Sakai seem... Sakai is a very interesting character in the history of The Simpsons.
I don't like... Was he ever credited with writing? I mean, he's a producer. Yeah, I just don't know like what creatively he's done.
Yeah, I don't think he's ever had a credited writing episode on the show, and he's just always around, and he's never on the commentaries except for like the first 10 minutes of the movie commentary. Yeah. He is on that, and then he leaves that too.
That's strange.
It's very strange. If he's just
like some great karaoke though.
Yeah,
with the weird mop hair.
Yeah,
and, like,
he is the one in the Blowfish episode singing the karaoke. That's if you see that Asian man appear in episodes, that's Richard Sakai
for sure. Yeah, but apparently he's a huge toady to James L. Brooks. Well, how does this episode wrap up? I totally forget how they resolve the problem.
They barely do.
They put the head back on, and everybody's like, "Ah, oh, that's better.
There's never looked better. Thank you." And then
the head should just like roll back off. I mean, there's no soldering tools or whatever.
It's how assuage a child's fear when a building like their blocks topple over. No, look, it's still good.
They actually cut. They cut not only his head off, but they cut a significant amount of that post apology part. Mm-hmm. On the DVD, it's not on it. I remember it being on the tape, and I checked on SNPP, and there's a Tale of Two Cities reference where Bart says, like, I know I'll always feel an inner shame far greater than any punishment you could dish out. Far, far greater. Far, far, far greater.
And, it
was not on the DVD. I don't know if it's on the...
It's a weird cut.
Yeah, on,
make,
the FX,
yeah.
On the FX.
On the commentary, they mentioned that there were multiple revisions like in this first season. In this episode, it ends with like a very ADR line that Homer just says, most Lynch Bobs aren't this nice.
Yeah.
Like,
which
that's basically
a funny
it.
Line. I like that line.
I think it was on the DVD version. I can't... It sounded like it was. It,
yeah, most Lynch Bobs aren't this... My pirated Spanish version.
Al Jean and Mike Reese mentioned a line that said, it was like, Homer says, I can't wait to get home and start punishing you. And that was like another line they probably did in one other airing.
Yeah,
so.
it was very weird just that it feels like, well, we have 20 seconds left. Okay, everybody feels better and they forgive him. The end. What? Wait.
I wanted to say that's the kind of thing that doesn't happen anymore, but I know I've seen episodes of South Park like just air without their final music. I guess it's something that does happen from time to time.
I think it was with this, the episodes were done, but they were just so worried about not being funny enough and not lasting. Like, we need to make these jokes better because we've heard them over and over again for 6 months. So,
I can't imagine how you could still think something like that is funny after that.
Yeah. Also, sorry, this episode has the most no-brainer syndication cut of all time. Where they ask, how long is this going to take? And he says, 2305. Yeah, of course.
Did they cut that out?
For syndication, because it's not going to be. It's going to take less than 23 minutes.
I always loved it when they did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's why I didn't. I kind of held back from watching a lot of the syndicated episodes, or at least not watching them that closely, because I thought I have these on VHS anyway, and it has an extra minute in it, and I just can't. The cuts would bother me so much; it really would feel like a missing finger or something.
Yeah,
well, that's an extreme thing to say, but
missing head.
No, Henry, it hurt worse than pregnancy.
Exactly.
To miss
a minute of The Simpsons.
Yeah. See, like I didn't start taping the show till season five, so that's why. Like,
season two, I was.
Boy, no, I was there from day one, baby.
Yeah. I don't even know if we had a VCR.
Really?
Yeah, maybe not.
The hoity-toity Gilberts.
Yeah,
with their two VCRs.
Yeah, my parents are kind of hip. My dad's kind of a hippie, and then mom doesn't care.
I see. No, I was. Yeah, this. I can't remember anything else about this episode other than just thinking like the squishies looked cool. It made me want.
This is just the first one I didn't have to look at as an antiquated relic. Yeah. Like it just everything started to click into place about why the show is awesome.
And it had definitely lots of cut. Oh, Mambo in the Morning. That was like some weird runner too.
Like they like that's in the Babysitter Bandit episode too. They're like dancing to Mambo music.
They love Mambo in the Springfield.
Yeah. But, Papa loves Mambo.
But I couldn't drink the squishy equivalent because Slurpees, they weren't. I didn't live in a place with a 7-Eleven, I think, really, until I moved out here.
Awful
Me
Basset
too.
Hound Hush Puppies or whatever. Slush Puppies.
Slush Puppies, yeah. Or Icy's.
I mean, yeah, I had Icy's. They're pretty much the same thing, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I always preferred the slushies that were at the Dairy Queen anyway.
Oh, you look again. Mr. Little Lord Gilbert with
Mr. Misty's, right?
Mr. Misty's. That's
right.
What they
didn't
were.
Have
yeah.
a Dairy
I didn't
Queen
get that
town.
Back to the Future 3 joke. Like, where'd you learn that? And he says 7-Eleven. And I was like, what do those numbers mean, Mom?
Which is weird because, like, I've never seen an arcade game in a 7-Eleven.
There were some gas stations. Like we were just at that California Extreme thing, and I see that Pac-Man marquee, and it's like that literally was everywhere when I was a little kid. Too young to really care about Pac-Man.
With the ghost and the little flappy feet.
It was everywhere.
The tiny knobby joystick.
Every pizza joint, every gas station outside of some gas stations. Yeah, it was everywhere. We're doing a Simpsons show.
That's right.
And a Chris Remembers
usually
show.
Usually we get sidetracked with Simpsons. We're not getting sidetracked with video games. What's happening
irony.
Here?
I don't have any place to talk about video games.
No. Okay. So I guess we should wrap up. Anything, any final thoughts? Or are we good?
I really like this episode.
One weird observation about when they're eating breakfast and it's the Mambo station or whatever. Homer is dipping like a sausage. I could not understand.
I guess it's sausage and syrup.
Yeah,
it was so.
I think Homer taught me to do that in a later episode.
Okay,
like, dipping your sausage. Like, this is delicious, salty and sweet can work.
Butter up your bacon.
It just seemed weird to me. And then Lisa's eating like green goop.
Yeah, they eat like lots of piles in these episodes, like miscellaneous piles.
I was okay with that. So did Calvin.
This is such a great episode of firsts, and like a Simpsons episode that involves the entire town to the point where it's a lynch mob and they all want to kill the Simpsons. And they really should know by after this, they should be like, oh, yeah, the Simpsons. They're the people who did the Springfield's Head. Mm-hmm. I like
but
that.
No one remembers them.
And also, you know, he didn't even proclaim it as a first, but it was the first of Jebediah Springfield.
Yeah.
Jebediah Obadiah Zachariah Springfield, as he's known. who would later go on to be revealed to be secretly a pirate with a silver tongue,
yeah.
who also came to town with Shelbyville, and they split off into two separate areas.
Shelbyville, Manhattan.
Shelbyville, Manhattan. Yeah, and what was another fact about Jebediah? I can't remember another one. Oh, yeah, that he created the word embiggens, too.
Yeah. It's a perfectly cromulent word. Just like our perfectly cromulent podcast, right, guys? Let's wrap up here. I am Bob Servo on Twitter. You can find me on Something Awful. I also do a classic gaming podcast called Retronauts. You should listen to that. And I write for usgamer.net, so check that out, please. Everybody else, jump in and tell us where we can
Laser
find you.
Laser Time and Cantista on Twitter. Listen to the show. Listen 3 times this week. That is your homework assignment.
Cape Crisis, the comic book podcast that comes out every week.
If you're not watching these episodes as we, I did want to recommend, this is the one to start with.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I think so.
Like, you'll like this episode.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm HENEREYG on Twitter.
I'm at Dave Rudden, and I host Cheap Popcast, wrestling podcast. And in addition to bi-weekly episodes of that are free, if you donate at $10 level, we do wrestling commentaries every other week.
Awesome. Well, thanks for listening and donating, and tune in next week for even more Cloud Talk.